Here we go. It is hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And joining us now, Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell, brought to you by Hyundai. Discover what's next at your local Hyundai dealer, official partner of FIFA World Cup 2026. As Nick joins us now here on The Fan, and a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
It's great to be with you guys. I'm doing great, and I am looking forward to seeing if the Spurs have anything left after that meltdown the other night.
Yeah, that was going to be my first question. Do you think it was a critical blow that they can't recover from?
I do. I think they can get through Game 5, but I'd be surprised at this point if it gets past 6. Because if you have had control in all these different games at various points, and you have that game where you're up 29 in the third quarter and you lose, you can be a mentally tough team, but I don't think anybody is recovering from that kind of meltdown. Because, guys, that was one of the worst chokes that we've ever seen in the league. And in that moment, on that type of platform, as great and as talented as that team is, I don't think they can win three in a row off that kind of mistake.
How do these finals compare, the quality of these teams compare to others throughout the past in your lifetime covering the sport?
I think that both of these teams offer balance, the likes that we haven't seen, at least that jumps out to me, guys, since I know that last year went to Game 7 with the Thunder and the Pacers, but there just wasn't a lot of interest, and I didn't think that the talent on both sides matched up. I mean, as far as evenly matched teams go, the series I go back to is when the Cavs came back down from 3-1 and LeBron led them by the Warriors and they won. And there was such an outpouring after that game because, you know, they ended up seeing the Warriors a lot of times. But in those years, and in that year specifically, it felt like both of those teams were right about the same level. So I'm still surprised that the Knicks got to this point where they're a game away from winning the title. The Spurs are going to be here several more times, assuming they can stay healthy and Wemby continues to progress. But as far as how evenly played these games have been and the talent on both sides, I think this matchup jumps ahead of many over the last decade and a half or so.
Wemby's been really good in stretches, Nick, but obviously he's getting a lot for the lack of fourth quarter production and the two missed free throws. What's your assessment overall of how Wemby's played in his first finals?
Guys, I grew up in Orlando, Florida, and when I was 10, 11 years old, I was lucky enough to see a lot of those Shaq and Penny games. And I can't tell you how many times I have thought back to that team in that moment as I watch Wemby now. Because I think, to me, as far as impact goes, and certainly they don't have the same type of game, but as far as their impact, Wemby's the closest thing I've seen to Shaq in just the ability to take over in a different way than we've seen before. I mean, we haven't seen a guy who's 7'5", shoot it like Steph, and be the defensive menace that he can be. But if we've learned anything over the last couple of weeks of this series specifically, he's just not ready yet. There is something, too, you've got to go through it, and you've got to have those moments where you do fail on the big stage, and you do learn from those experiences, and he's going through it right now. So I think the future is incredibly bright for him. He's only going to get better, and he's going to enjoy learning from this in his own way. But he reminds me so much of Shaq on that 95 Magic team, because everybody thought that he would come in and be able to dominate, and it just hasn't worked out that way. And in a lot of ways it hadn't worked out because he's 22 years old, and he's still trying to find his way in his own career.
Is it time for Dylan Harper to be the man above De'Aaron Fox here at this point? I mean, what are we dealing with Harper? He's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable, and the answer is yes. I mean, guys, I'm sitting there watching that game the other night in the fourth quarter. I'm like, why isn't Dylan Harper on the floor? Why don't you just let him do whatever he's going to do. De'Aaron Fox, those meltdowns and the plays that he not only made but that he didn't make late in the second half just leave you scratching your head. The hope was that as a veteran, he has been able to see a lot more things than a lot of his younger teammates. But this is where you have to remind yourself. He was in Sacramento. I mean, they didn't play a hell of a lot of big games. He's trying to go through it in a lot of ways and figure it out for himself on his own. So, absolutely. I am, as far as who needs to show up and produce in Game 5, to me, guys, there's nobody I'm looking at more than De'Aaron Fox. I mean, there's going to be what will Wemby do, and can Jalen Brunson have another big game, and can he be the MVP? Although right now I'd probably give it to Ananobi because of what he's been able to do. But Fox has got to show up because he had a total meltdown, and the Spurs on the whole did. But the plays that he was making in those final stretches, I mean, they were just really, really bad. And if he's any kind of real player that you're building around, he's got to be the guy that helps set the tone in Game 5.
Nick, and you mentioned watching that game. When did you think that the Spurs were in trouble? How far into that second half were you like, man, this thing could maybe go the other way? Is there a particular play or moment where things started going bad in your eyes?
I think in later towards the third quarter when they kept jacking up those threes, guys.
Sure.
That's where I started to go, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
On a basic level. Now, I say that, they were still up like 15 going into the fourth. So to sit there and tell you, oh, I thought that could happen, I was worried. No, I didn't think that was a real concern. I think when you came down in the fourth and you're at 7 or 8 minutes and Brunson starts knocking down shots,
yeah,
then you started to go, is this really going to happen? And I think what would scare me if you're the Spurs is not only did you have that game wrapped up, but it was like they didn't even know where to turn. It wasn't like, all right, well, let's get Wemby down on the blocks and get an easy couple buckets, or let's get somebody free for a jumper. They just completely bleeped themselves is what they did. So I think with 4 or 5 minutes left, I started to think, I think this is going to happen. And then it did happen, and that's why it goes back to the top. I don't see how, after blowing the game in the manner in which they did, that San Antonio could come back and win three straight. But I say that knowing that if you're Mitch Johnson and the coaching staff, mm-hmm. all you're telling your guys is, hey, I mean, this thing by rights could already be over because you've had it every single time. You just haven't found a way to close. If they close, things can change. But they're a really young team. They made a ton of mistakes, and I don't know how you can overcome them at this stage.
Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. Discover what's next at your local Hyundai dealer, like our next generation EV, the Ioniq 9, Hyundai official partner of FIFA World Cup 2026.
Nick, what do you think that Greg Popovich was thinking when he was watching that game?
If you're Pop and you're sitting up there as somebody who has had the success and the control, guys,
yeah,
that he's had over that program for so many years and watched so many teams and been able to adjust on the fly, you just got to feel sick to your stomach because you're sitting up there and you can't do anything. And I think that Mitch Johnson in the regular season, he proved that he's a really good young coach. But we're sitting here talking about Wemby and De'Aaron Fox, the guy who has gotten absolutely run around in this series is Mitch. I mean, that he looks like he's out of his coaching class with what's happened at various points in this series and the adjustments that Mike Brown has been able to make and the adjustments the Spurs haven't made. So if you're Greg Popovich and you're sitting up there and you've watched your team and your organization have all this success for so many years, And then you continually see, and it's not just game four. I mean, the end of game two, when
right.
he's throwing the ball off his back and you're going, what is happening? You've got to just feel like, man, I wish that I was still doing what I love to do, because you had, in theory, the control to change things up.
It's Nick Friedell here with you on The Fan. During the West Finals, I was convinced OKC was going to win and that Knicks fans were going to lose their bleep when they probably got swept and SGA was flopping all over the court. Then San Antonio won. So I guess, Nick, my question is, do you think New York would have done this to OKC as well?
No, because I thought exactly what you thought. I thought that the Thunder would find a way, that SGA was that good, that even without J-Dub and some of the pieces that weren't available, that they would still be able to overcome all that. And what we found in this series is that San Antonio, because of Wemby and the matchups, they just provided an especially difficult matchup challenge for the Thunder. And they're going to have a lot of battles for a lot of years to come, which I think, on a broader note, is much better for the league, because we so desperately need to see rivalries again. Teams not like each other. That is a good thing. But to the point about the Thunder and the Knicks, I think the Thunder would have wiped the Knicks out. I know the Knicks have played very well, and they've been on this unbelievable hot streak, but the Thunder have all kinds of size. They can hit offensively from all these different places, and they have that championship experience that we're talking about. I think what we've seen is that San Antonio's youth has just really, really hurt them in this moment on this stage. So the Thunder have got to be sitting there going, oh my gosh, how did we not just close this thing out and make it happen? They didn't. That's pro sports. Things can change in a blink, but I would be really surprised if the Thunder and the Spurs aren't back there next year and aren't facing off again to see what's what if everybody's healthy.
A lot of buzz around what could happen with Giannis. What are you hearing regarding the market for him, the trade conversation, and are you hearing anything about the Mavs also possibly moving Kyrie? Minnesota, I guess, they're throwing their name in there.
As far as Giannis, I would be surprised if he was still in Milwaukee to start next year. I think the writing has been on the wall for a while, guys, in that what he doesn't really seemingly want to say publicly is he's just kind of done. He's had it in Milwaukee. It doesn't feel like the fit is there. And that team is years away from being in any kind of contention again. Now, where he lands, that's what the entire league's trying to figure out. I think the most intriguing place for me as I'm watching it unfold would probably be Miami, because they got the pieces back, Milwaukee did, that Miami can offer. If you plug Giannis in Miami and you've got Bam Adebayo, I would like to believe that there are lots of NBA players that are like, hey, I can live in Florida and I can play with those two guys. Yeah, sign me up. So that is interesting, at least from a basketball standpoint. Now, whether it happens, we'll see. Now, specific to the Mavs, it would surprise me if they moved off Kyrie at this point, just because I think they want to see what it looks like and what it looks like with Cooper Flagg and try to kind of build a rhythm between those two guys. But if I've learned anything through the years, guys, as it pertains to Kyrie, anything is possible. And I know he's coming back off the injury and there are question marks there, but we'll see, especially with Masai in place and that new front office, how everything shakes out over the next few months here.
Terrific report, Nick. Enjoy the rest of these finals, and we'll try to catch up with you real soon.
You got it, guys. I appreciate you having me.
Salute. Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA Insider, brought to you by Hyundai. Discover what's next at your local Hyundai dealer, official partner of FIFA World Cup 2026. What a game that's going down right now. Canada almost equalized. Backside defender basically swept it off the line and knocked it off the crossbar and out. Then Bosnia came back down the pitch, had a one-on-one with the Canada goalkeeper. He came out and made the save. And it's 1-0, Bosnia, 55th minute, second half of World Cup game number 3. You're gonna want to join the fellas tonight. Fred's going to be out there. Chief, Wolchuk, Luce is going to be out there. Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless for a USA watch party starting at 7:30. Game starts at 8, so they'll see you out there.